Here we go. First show of August.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Yeah, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
Just swinging in the breeze.
Rich, can that's you just go say. Suck it?
I'd like sweet on meat.
Quarter pound of meat in his mouth.
When you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies down a Lincoln bath. For the stream, like the DLNGS.org. And the IC channel is a LinuxLink.net bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1063 on the show tonight. We have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Yeah, I'm here.
We have Davey.
Hello.
Ridey Rye. And the last time I spoke about setting up Caddy and the troubles that we were having putting our story editor local environment, which is a WordPress environment, behind Caddy. And everything I had tried amounted to it just being an utter failure. And wouldn't you know it, the next day, I roped in the guy who originally put up the, was started using Caddy in the initial scripts. And he and I together looked at this. And nothing that we were doing was working, like trying to put in all these extra configurations and everything, nothing. Trying to forward headers, everything we tried was failing. And then at one point he was like, why don't you try this, right? And the this was where we had the domain name, right? That it was supposed to redirect that domain, anything coming into that domain, back to the local host ports that we had specified. In this case, it was anything coming into that domain on port 80 or 443 should be redirected back to localhost port 8000 or, I'm sorry, 8080 or 8443, which is where it was listening on. He's like, why don't we try it with a slash asterisk after the domain, which in no configuration example had I ever seen that done. The only place I have seen that done was that in our other configurations. So the other domain, so we had two domains. One was PrestoSuite local .conetdigital.com. That was for, or PrestoSuite local story editor .configurationlocal.com. That was for the story editor. The other one was like local PrestoSuite.conetdigital.com. And so just everything default went to localhost 3000. And then we had other applications off of that. So that would be slash that application's like name, whether it's like print or promos, and then slash asterisk after that. But the one at the main, the default, didn't have an asterisk off of it. So I never thought to put an asterisk after it. And I never saw anything in configurations about needing to put an asterisk after it. But sure enough, putting an asterisk after it, it worked perfectly after that. Like, it was so freaking stupid that
this was it. This was in the Caddy config?
Yeah, this was in the Caddy config. So under the config for where you had where you wanted to redirect traffic that was coming in, that was listening on that domain, redirect it to localhost 8080 or localhost 8443, you had to have an asterisk after the domain name. So it had to be the domain name slash asterisk for it to work. Which is really odd, because the other one that we had, like I said, the default was going to port 3000, and there was no asterisk after that one. So Yeah. So it was working after that, and it's been working since then. Very frustrating, but a super simple solution. And it's one that I think had crossed my mind, but I'm like, that's ridiculous. Why would that make a difference, right? Because it's not like that on the other part of the configuration, so why would it matter? But it did, and it worked, and I was really happy with that. We, you know, I set up all the scripts and the support for setting that up automatically. That was fun working with Bash. Enjoyable. When I got back from vacation, one of the things that was wanted, and I think I had mentioned this, was with our Dependabot, that we just wanted it to do automatic bumping on production libraries, not development dependencies. And what that kind of means is like we have Next applications with React. So we wanted to do like keep up to date with our production libraries and modules, but stuff that's for development, like testing purposes, we're not overly concerned about. Because what ends up happening is, even, you know, when we have it doing both, there's a heck of a lot of dependencies that come through. And then if it's a significant enough change that requires some alterations on the code, then it opens that ticket, and those tickets start to stack up, and our team shrank in size. So the want was to reduce it down to just production dependencies, not development dependencies, in hopes that it will reduce some of that traffic and tickets. That was pretty easy to do, but in the process of doing that, I started noticing that there were failures on when it was trying to do its dependency checking updates, and it would come back and fail and complain that the Dependabot required using Node 20 and NPM version 10 or greater, which, surprisingly enough, we had set up in our package JSON. You could specify under the engines the minimum Node version and NPM version that you have to use, and which we had set on the applications we had converted over to Node 20 to be Node 20 and NPM 10. And then in our NPM RC, we had set engine strict to true. So basically what that means is, when you specify that you need to have a minimum of Node 20 and NPM 10, when you go to do anything like NPM install or whatever on this code base, that all the dependencies have to conform to that restriction. So if there is like a dependency that has a dependency that requires like NPM version 9, it would fail because you have strict engine strict checking. We don't allow it. It has to be 10 or better. So when we had that in place, it was causing Dependabot to fail. And the message that we were getting said that you needed to use Node 20 or NPM and NPM 10 or greater. And it would say, but we're getting Node 20 and NPM 9. And it made no sense, because it made it feel like something was requiring Node 20 or NPM 9 and not NPM 10 in our dependencies. But after like a half a day of pulling my hair out trying to figure this out, turns out that the problem isn't with our stuff. It's with GitHub's Dependabot. In that, when it runs the workflow to update the dependencies or check for dependencies, the image that it pulls and uses has Node 20 with NPM 9 installed, because they hadn't updated it to use 10. I think there was a problem and they hadn't fixed it. And this goes back to before March, apparently. And we had just started upgrading a lot of our applications to be Node 20 with NPM 10. And because we had engine strict set to true, it was causing Dependabot to fail that restriction when it was setting up the environment, not necessarily checking for any dependencies. So we hadn't even gotten to that point yet. So there was two ways to fix this. The proper way to fix it would be for GitHub to get off their ass and fix their runner that's doing this to make sure it's using Node 10, or NPM 10, which is what they themselves have pinned it to, saying Dependabot needs to run. So in lieu of them fixing it, which is the pipe dream for now, because it hasn't been done for a while, we had two options. One is to remove the engine strict restriction, to set it either to false or to remove it entirely, or to drop back the NPM requirement in our package JSON engines to Node 9. So we chose the latter one, and sure enough, that solved that problem, and now dependencies are being updated and creating tickets when they fail tests, as to be expected. But that was like a good half a day at least work trying to figure out why the hell that was a problem, and uncovering that in some obscure issue that had been posted and had actually been closed because the P hadn't received any activity on it for a certain number of days, so it ended up getting closed. So that was kind of annoying. Hooray. But that's where we are. So now I'm back to fixing that and getting that all pushed and squared away. Reverse proxy's working like we want it. Hallelujah. One update. I've been working on an update to WordPress, updating us to 6.6. 6.5 had just been recently updated to 6.6, and they threw a whole bunch of new shit in there, which is causing some issues and new things to pop up for us. One of the heavy blockers for us in using 6.6 is that the Multicollabs commenting feature plugin, which is a shared commenting feature where editors and journalists can put comments on articles. And so one person could be, editor could be reviewing it, and then they'll put the comments on the article, and then the journalist comes back in and sees that those comments on there can comment on the comment or to fix it and resolve the comments. Anyway, it was doing some funky things with the formatting with the new plugin. And so the new plugin, we actually needed to update the plugin to support changes on WordPress 6, but in doing so, the plugin also has a bug that interferes with other parts of the user interface. And then they put out a patch to fix that bug, and it's still breaking something else. So it's just like this cavalcade of dependencies and bugs that I'm trying to sift through to solve these problems, or waiting on to solve these problems, so we can actually get back to finalizing the testing and giving the green light to upgrading the 6.6 from 6.5. The joys, man. The joys never end. It keeps you in business.
Yeah. Man.
So, Joel.
Yes, sir.
Oh, before we get to non-technological things, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody has seen this, but where is it? I had sent an email to myself because I saw this when I was on vacation, and you're familiar with Pop OS, right?
I am.
You're familiar with Pop OS? Well, the developers of Pop OS System 76, damn it, what did I do with it?
Just the Cosmic Desktop.
Yeah, did you see that?
I did. Now I looked at that. Are they going for a tiled window manager?
I think they've got tiling enabled.
And that's what it looked like. And I was like, it looks interesting, but it's not very far in development yet.
Yeah. And I read just a little bit about it. I mean, I'm not interested in it. I mean, tangentially, I guess, but I'm not going to run it. But I can't remember if it's GNOME based or is KDE based. I can't remember.
I'm guessing it's probably GNOME based because their other ones are GNOME based.
Just looking at the screenshot I'm seeing here, the top bar looks literally identical to the GNOME one. I mean. Yeah, it's got to be GNOME.
So I was wondering if they're trying to go for a more tiled approach to it. Doesn't look like it's fully tiled, but it looks like they're trying to improve on the tiling support. And then I thought of you, Dave.
But if that's a, you know, if that's a GNOME extension, that'll probably die one day, the next upgrade or something.
Maybe. Well, not if you're running Pop OS or Cosmic. They'll just make sure you're pinned to whatever you need, right?
Yeah.
But bravo on them. I like that. I like to see that.
Yeah.
I like to see new innovations in the Linux desktop, which we really haven't had in years. I mean, we're iterating what we have, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really, there's not been anything exciting to talk about. Because it just works. It's not when they're trying to make freaking wind modems work.
Yeah, and so when was the last time we had a Sawfish update, right?
Right.
Oh, December Sawfish. 2021 was the last stable release of Sawfish.
Is Sawfish is a window manager, right? Is it used in any desktops currently or not?
Not anymore.
It was the default for GNOME for years till they switched to Mutter or whatever it is. But is Mutter a window manager that GNOME uses, or is that old news too?
I think that's old news.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think. Wait, wasn't I can't remember what window manager GNOME uses. I think they built it in house, didn't they?
Maybe.
They stopped using whatever. I guess Mutter was built in house. Like Mutter wasn't a standalone window manager, was it?
I don't think so. But
like Sawfish,
no, it was just like a display widget set or something.
I remember back when you would use GNOME, you had a choice between like Sawfish or Enlightenment a couple other ones that you could use. You would use in conjunction with GNOME. The good old days, right?
And it was Zimian.
Yeah. That was Miguel Diacaza.
Yeah. Right?
And then there was all that integration with .NET Mono. .NET. Good stuff. Dave's favorite programming language, Mono.
Yep.
That's what made you throw Slackware away and go SUSE, because you wanted that Mono integration.
I can't even remember the last time I tried something cutting edge. I mean, the only things I've done Linux related this week, I guess, is I installed the terminal user interface for Joplin, and I installed Daggerfall Elder Scrolls 2 Unity, the non-Steam version.
Why?
I'm going to play it.
How's it working?
Okay.
It works. I fired it up, and then I had to like shut it down because it was coming through my Bluetooth speakers really, really loud. My wife was like, "I'm on a phone call," and I'm like, "Okay."
So tomorrow.
But I'm stuck in Savannah next week. She's going down there for work, and I'm going along with her. But she's driving a state car, which means I can't drive it. So when she's in this meeting all day, I'm stuck in the hotel room, so I may play Daggerfall. I don't know.
Well, that sounds cool. Like fun.
Yeah. Something to do. I walk around Savannah. I don't know.
I did try something out.
What was that?
What did you find out?
I tried to set up Gear VR. I pulled out Mold S7 and I got the Gear VR headset. And you can't like automatically switch to cardboard or anything. So, because it will try to install the Gear VR software. But none of the Gear VR stuff is available from any of the repositories. So I did try to manually install all of them, but it was some sketchy websites where you could get the software from. So I ended up doing a workaround and making it so that the micro USB connection didn't connect and just used cardboard with it. And that's working pretty well.
What did you have to do to make that change?
Basically, rubber bands next to the USB connector to prevent it from seating. And then, you know, manually starting cardboard. Then I have a mouse hooked up to it. It's still a bit of a pain. It's definitely not as easy as Gear VR used to be. But, yeah.
What's the headset you're using with that?
The official Samsung Gear VR headset that I got on release day when I got the, was it the S7? Might have been the S7. Yeah, had to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I've had one in the box the whole time, and then I have one that I use because, you know, me and the wife get both at the same time, and she was never interested.
So you have two of them now, right?
Yeah. But, you know, I can only use one at a time. Can't stack them.
If only you could, though, right?
Billy had four eyes.
So, yeah, I can still, you know, watch things, watch videos, whatever. There are even some games that'll play. But I you're not getting that whole immersive environment thing or the ability to watch Netflix the way you could with the original Gear VR. Which was always really cool. And I, you know, you go and look up ways to do it. Everybody's like, just buy an Oculus. And it's like, yeah, let me go shit $500.
Sign your life away to Meta. Which I guess we already did.
But they don't support that anymore, do they? The Samsung VR.
The Gear VR, no, it's not supported anymore, which is why you can't get the software.
That kind of sucks, doesn't it? How long did that thing last?
It lasted from the 7 through the S10, but didn't make it to the Note 10 Plus. Because they had a version where you could swap out the a connector on it from micro to USB-C. So,
well, it's cool you got it working, though.
Yeah, somewhat.
You gonna put that on your Steam Deck?
Not as good. I guess I could use something like what is it? Sunshine and Moonlight. If I could get a 3D version of that and then play games.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think anybody is set up for that.
And then throw up, right?
Yeah, you know, playing something with a lot of motion sensitivity like Ghost Runner or even maybe Borderlands would probably make you sick real quick.
Tiny Tina's Wonderland, there you go.
Tiny Tina.
You know, I've heard horrible things. about Tiny Tina's Wonderland, so I never purchased it.
I have it. I never played it. It was like free.
Oh, you got it for free?
Yeah.
Extremely low cost?
No, yeah, it was like one of the PlayStation Plus monthly games for free. I've never played it. That was like a first person shooter. That wasn't the Telltale thing, because there was a Telltale Borderlands one.
Oh, wait, right. There's you probably got for free the expansion for Borderlands 2 that they split off.
Is that what that is? I know, but it's a standalone.
Yeah, they turned it into a standalone, and then they also have Tiny Tina's Wonderland, which is a separate game.
Right.
What? I'm sorry. What are y'all saying?
Oh, it's Borderlands 2.
Yeah, but Tiny what Wonderland?
Tiny Tina's.
Oh.
Tiny Tina's Wonderland is its own game. Which,
I thought y'all were saying Tiny Penis Wonderland.
Yeah.
Dave was excited. He was like, sign me up. When we going?
I was thinking, y'all are trying to get me to Google this crap.
No. Tina, T-I-N-A. Oh, yeah. I can tell where Dave's mind is.
I just heard Joe say he heard horrible things about it. Dan said he had the free version. I'm like, what are y'all talking about? Yeah.
I think you're talking about Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon Keep, which was the most popular expansion on Borderlands 2, just because it was a really large expansion, and it was almost a full game all on its own. And then they turned it into a full game all on its own.
Let me double check. Let me just double check. Hold on. I know I can look it up here. What I have. Tiny Tina's. Tiny Tina's Wonderland.
Tiny Tina's titties.
No, it's not.
Well, considering that you're talking about a 13-year-old girl.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I think it is. It's Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon Keep.
Yeah. Which was the expansion that got split off from Borderlands 2, which, from what I understand, people like better than they like the Tiny Tina's Wonderlands.
Or the movie I heard.
Wait, I'm trying to remember here.
Yeah,
so was Tiny Tina's Wonderland a DLC on Borderlands 2?
No. Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon Keep was a DLC on Borderlands 2. Tiny Tina's Wonderland is its own separate individual game that came out after Borderlands 3.
Oh.
Yeah, the movie's tanking big time, though, from what I heard.
Because yeah. I could have sworn I had all the DLC for Borderlands 2, but it's been such a long time since I played it.
Like, the last DLC was Commander Lilith's, where Sanctuary gets taken over. But it was Commander Lilith's something or other.
And I'm pretty sure I played all of the DLC for Borderlands 2. Mm-hmm. I did not see the movie.
Commander Lilith and the Fight for Sanctuary. Yeah, I heard the movie is really bad.
And not a lot of the other people did either. Apparently, made 10 million in the first weekend. It's like that's pretty bad.
But Deadpool's evidently rocking it, so
yeah,
time left to be able to go and see it.
Deadpool's
so
awesome.
They say.
I want to, I do. But like this upcoming weekend, I don't know if I'm going to be able to.
Yeah, me either.
My middle child had her 20th birthday on the 13th, so we're going out to have a dinner.
There you go.
On Saturday, plus I got a podcast on Friday and a podcast on Sunday. One of my buddies wants to do a study session for one of the Oracle Cloud products, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to get time for that because of the other traffic.
Right. Is that a work thing?
No. No, he works at a different company.
Okay.
But, he wants to take the certification on Monday, but I'm not going to be available.
Oh, I'm your poor friend.
Available for like 6 months.
You're letting him down.
I mean, well, I've been trying to get out to his house now because he bought a house, and I've been trying to get out there for like a year, and it's just work is killing me, man. And they are not paying me enough to there. I've heard what they're paying new hires, and they need to up my goddamn pay, or I'm moving to another company.
Yeah.
They're not treating you right, man.
They're not.
I have a question for you, Dave.
Yeah.
How does it make you feel that there is more excitement and personality in one of the opening credit scenes of Deadpool than the entirety of the DC Universe movies?
Honestly, I'm going to give you my opinion on this. I think it's an extremely good thing since it's the highest grossing R-rated movie that's comic book based.
What's what, ever?
Ever, actually.
And I think that this will give Disney the kick in the ass that they need to make their content a little bit more adult friendly.
Or at least have,
as it were.
Or at least have scripts that are good.
Yeah. So I'm really hoping that it changes the scripts for the rest of their movies and they bring in a little bit more of what people actually want.
Granted, I don't know how I like Robert Downey Jr. being Dr. Doom.
Well, they're also didn't they also bring him back as Iron Man?
In a different way, yeah.
This is multiverse, man. They can do whatever crap they want.
Yeah, they do whatever the hell they want, Joel. It's their money.
Yes. They are playing on the nostalgia of Robert Downey Jr., but if they make a good movie, I'm not going to bitch about it.
I like Robert Downey Jr.
That's true.
I think they have a direction. I hope that it's going to be good. My only concern is, like, Doom is an Eastern European monarch. Nothing says to me Eastern European about Robert Downey Jr., but he's a great actor, so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
He could do an accent.
Sherlock.
Yeah.
This isn't a DC movie, so it's going to be good, right, Dave?
Well,
I think Deadpool in large part is as good as it is because of Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Yeah, I just don't know that, you know. I mean, I'm not saying Marvel doesn't make great movies. They do. I mean, they make really great movies.
I saw an article today that said they were wanting to bring Halle Berry back as Storm for that movie, but didn't happen.
No, but they did bring back Blade.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you're very right about it being Ryan Reynolds because evidently he pushed really, really hard at that creative control.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could make a Deadpool movie without him and it wouldn't be anywhere near this good.
In fact, Ryan Reynolds went back and killed Ryan Reynolds before he started in Green Lantern. So there's that.
Yeah. Speaking of DC, have you watched Watchmen Chapter 1, the animated movie?
What is that?
No, I have not.
It's The Watchmen. They're
No, but what is it on? Is it on Max?
I don't know. I don't know where you watch it.
You stole it, right?
I've only watched part of it. Yeah.
What is it?
They split it in two and they're making two installments, but it's the Watchmen, what was previously the Watchmen motion comic, they've turned into a full length Watchmen animated movie.
Oh, so it's just an animation of the Watchmen comic.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Is it true to the comic book?
Yeah, very.
Because like the movie was pretty good, but it wasn't necessarily true.
Yeah, the movie would have had to been much longer.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet, but I didn't even know it was out.
Yeah, it came out yesterday, I think.
Oh, well, there you go. See, I didn't know. I don't know, Dave.
Who knows?
Joel.
No one knows.
What happened with your hike? How did that go?
All right. Okay. So basically, I went down like Friday. One of the guys that was originally going to do the hike with me, he had got us a cab.
You went down with a guy on Friday?
Shut up. So we met down. We met down at a cabin. It was actually my first experience at an Airbnb at all. It was nice. I mean, it was a lot. Yeah, it was a basically like a hunting cabin. It didn't have like indoor plumbing. It just had like a sink with a water pump, and that's it. You know, and a gray water thing, and then an outhouse. Okay, so I didn't get, you know, couldn't take a shower in the morning, which that's okay. I didn't care. I took one before I left, and I got down there. But of course, I had real trouble sleeping. So I slept some, not quite enough. So I started off the hike in the morning pretty good. The start was just amazing. And I got through, the first water station. I didn't even need any water at that point. I had a full 64 ounces with me at the start. But then the thing that I think I was the most unprepared for was the hills. They were a lot worse than I had anticipated. We're talking like 12 to 15% grade, very steep. And we had like 2 weeks of rain in that area, prior to the hike. So they were muddy and slick and very, you know, you spent just as much money trying to stay vertical or energy trying to stay vertical as you did trying to keep going forward. But I got all the way to through the first set of hills and to the next to last aid station. The way it worked was there's a water aid station, water aid station, right? And I got to the last water only station, and I said, I just can't do it anymore. It goes to show you that there's Garmin has this feature called the body battery in it, a
body bag.
Body battery.
Oh, okay.
It basically is supposed to tell you how prepared you are for the day. And when I started the hike, I was at 15 already. So to give you an idea, How far was the total hike?
How far did you go?
Oh, I went. The aid station was supposedly at mile marker 11. According to my Garmin watch, I did 12.68 miles.
That's great.
Which is still a record. You know, it's still a record and something I never done before. You know, so, I feel good about it. And even though I didn't make it, I still loved every minute of it.
And you know what? There's next year.
Yeah,
that's exactly it. And next year I'm not going to do that one. They do two in Ohio. They do one down where we were, Burr Oak, and then they do another one at Cuyahoga Valley National Park. And I looked at it, and that's still actually this year's event still hasn't happened yet. It's next month. Unfortunately, they're sold out. All right. Oh, my feet, I did get one blister on it. So I think next time I start out, I got some on my toes. The toe ones weren't too bad. But the one that was on my right foot, like right behind the toes, right in the balls of my feet, it didn't hurt. It was just annoying, you know. But I think I'm going to do some pre-taping before I put my feet in there. I might also switch up my socks. There's a company called Injinji that make hiking oriented, believe it or not, toe socks. So each toe goes in its own little pocket, and those are supposed to help like with the blisters on your toes. So I might try that and also try pre-taping with some Leuco tape on the balls of my feet just so that those don't happen again.
You were back out there in 2 days looking at Garmin Connect, so that's good.
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah,
4,400 calories, yeah. too.
Did your feet get wet because of the mud?
Well, yes and no. I mean, it wasn't that bad. There wasn't any, like water crossings, at least in the section I was on. I was slogging through the mud, but actually, my shoes, I actually still haven't washed my shoes from the hike yet, so they don't look that bad. But my feet weren't really wet, so it was just the friction between the foot and the sock. I might try it also. They have this stuff called a foot glide or feet glide. I forget what it is. I got it saved in my Amazon wish list. So I might try some of that, putting that on before I put my socks on, just so that I cut the amount of the blisters. And I'm also thinking about if we do, because we're going to have probably a bigger group, including the one lady coach that might go with us to do the next one next year, whether we do Burr Oak or Cuyahoga. We're also our church group at church that started out the boot camp group, one of the other guys, he decided that we're going to kind of start a group to keep on doing trails together. And we got about four or five people that's going to go on a hike at one of the metro parks here in September. So, and week, if you look at Garmin Connect, this week I've been doing three miles, 3.8 miles ish a day. Today I did 3.9. So,
You had sent me an email about some DeWalt neckband headphones.
Those
do look pretty cool, and they've been on my interest list for a while.
Yeah,
they're supposed to have like a 60-hour charge, but I never trusted
them. Yeah, that and it's got a speakers in it too.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that. Some of the LGs do that too, but they only do it on like one side. And I saw that DeWalt had it on both sides, so that was pretty cool.
Put a link to that in the chat, somebody.
But if you were doing it for long walks, I had sent a couple of suggestions. Well, I sent one suggestion because you pass through, so you can use it clipped until it runs out. And then you can listen to it while it's charging. A lot of your neckband ones, you cannot listen to while they're charging. You plug them in and they automatically turn off.
Well, I will tell you this. When I do the event next year, I'm still going to go. This year, I didn't even put the earbuds in once. It was just not safe enough for me to, because there was too many people on the trail. Plus, I was getting passed all the time. So I kind of had to listen for people passing me.
Dude, 10 miles, 11 miles, 12 miles in hill country, that's no joke. So kudos
to you. Yeah.
Congratulations. I know that was hard work.
Anyone who will say that hiking's not a real sport is full of shit. I mean, because it was probably one of the most intense things physically I've ever done. I feel like, if it wasn't for my energy level being so sapped at that point, I would have went ahead and did it. But because I had
snacks.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna. That's something because the one thing that kind of they provide snacks at the aid stations, okay? Snacks and food. Yeah. But
not the caffeinated snacks.
It consisted of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and I'm like, I'm not five.
I still eat those.
Oh, I know. I do too.
The reason they do that is because peanut butter is extremely calorically dense.
It's a protein. And the protein. So, I mean, you know, so they, but I, you know, that, and that's okay, you know, but I think I'm going to throw in some beef jerky in the pack and other things like that. I have my caffeinated mints with me, but I got to do some hacks to my Osprey Stratos pack. I love the pack, but one of the main issues I have with it is the hip. It has a pockets on the hip belt, right? I can open them, all right, with the pack still on my back, right? But if I go to, I can't close them, because what happens is as you pull that zipper forward, the pocket kind of kinks up, and then the zipper stops. So, and the only way I've been able to get them things closed is if I sling it, basically unbuckle things, sling it to the point where I can reach that pocket and then zip it back up. But I have a way. I think I'm going to I already has a good pull on it. The problem is that the zipper's fine. There's like a trim that goes around, like, I'll have to see if I can't link the picture of the pack, but there's a piece of trim that goes like around there, and it's not stiff enough to keep the zipper the right way so that it will close. So what I think I'm gonna do some 3D print magic, and I'm gonna put a little frame in there, and I'm gonna take like a needle and thread and stitch it in a little bit so I can keep that part of the pocket stiff. All right.
Well, you know, one snack you can get, the little snooze packets that people put in their lip.
Yes.
There's a company that makes
Grinds.
Yeah, Grinds. There you go. That's the one where it's just caffeine.
Yeah, coffee. I've heard about that.
What's up?
So here, I'm gonna get the link for that, and let's see.
I'm sorry, you're gonna have to come in.
So that's the day pack, and that's gonna be my day pack for the next hike. Before the next hike, I'm gonna make it so that I can open and close those hip belt pockets, and you can see them on the first picture there.
Yeah. Oh, that's the closed position?
Yes, that's the closed position. So what happens is
all the way back. That doesn't make sense.
All the way front.
Okay.
Look at the bottom, and you'll see the little Osprey Eagle on it. And as you pull it back to open it, that's not a problem. But when you pull it forward, it will wrinkle like right about where the eagle head is, and then it stops right there. So it just won't go the rest of the way. If I can keep that the way it looks right there in that picture, it'll be fine. So,
but
a little plastic frame will do good. Let's see if I want to see if I can't link the pictures. If you're on Facebook, you've seen them already. But in fact, my Facebook profile is one of the, actually not one I took or one anybody I know took. That was the official Mammoth March photographer that took that one.
I am on, what microphone am I on? That's crazy.
You think you're on your laptops.
No, I'm not on a laptop. Here.
Is that better?
Yeah,
that's much better.
100%.
Okay, I was. Now, you guys got to tell me.
I tried to when you said Tiny Tina's Wonderland. It sounded funny.
Okay. That mic is like three and a half feet away from me.
Ugh.
Can still hear
the album of my pitch. I just shared in the mumble chat the album of pictures I took both the night before and the day of the hike. And ones, I think I got ones in there that were shared. I got some drone pics in there too.
Joe only wants to see the one where you were going down.
Ah, shoot!
I don't want to see that one.
No,
knowing it exists is more than enough for me.
I don't have the one that did. Okay, I guess I didn't upload any of the ones that are from the March.
I really didn't need to hear the story about Joel going down on a guy that he met at an Airbnb in the middle of nowhere.
I gotta say, that cabin looks kind of nice.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. In fact, the guy there, he's the one starting the fire and with the axe. the he was he knows he, well Airbnb you talk to the people that own it, right? So he's gonna go down and help them there. If you look, I don't know if I have a picture of the outside.
Picture of the what?
No, there you go. So if you see the picture of the front of the cabin there, it's got like a ramp coming off the main deck, right?
Yes.
So he's building a path from the cabin to the outhouse.
Oh.
All right, and it wasn't complete when
for your
we
jazzy
were there.
Scooter.
You jazzy scooter, but you're not getting in this place with or without a jazzy with the scooter at all.
Okay.
Because it's on a dirt road, dude. For one, and for two, there's not enough room in that cabin for the scooter. It's a tiny cabin, you know. It's basically that bedroom and that little common slash kitchen area. But the nice thing was they had some snacks in the. In there, like if you look over to the left, up above the refrigerator, there was some snacks in there. So I did one of the things I did do on the way out was I grabbed they had some those Welch's fruit snacks. I grabbed some of those and put those in my hip belt pocket along with some Clif bars. But yeah, it was a nice little cabin. I'll have to see if I can't. I might pull those pictures that were from the, there's a couple of me from the actual official photos, so I'll take some of those and I'll send them an email to you guys since some of us don't bother to log on to the social networks. But
all right,
but like I said, I may have not, in some ways, I felt like I failed at my goal, but I didn't fail because I did something that I've never done before, and I tried, and I got over halfway.
That's so impressive.
Don't look at it
as a failure.
And the hills, nope. The hills were intense and very difficult. I know what I need to do in order to prepare for next year, and if we do the Cuyahoga one, then I've got over a year to prepare for that still. So, and we're going to continue to go on the hike and continue to lose weight. And on that front, I'm about 107 down now. Nice. I am 1 or 2 pounds away from when I went to the bronchoscopy. When my doctor looked at me, he says, well, you should lose another 5 or 10 pounds. All right. I was like, okay, no problem. And I'm about there now. So that's good. And last Sunday I went and tried on pants and I'm officially 10 inches smaller in my waist.
That's wow. Great.
From 50 to 40. And I don't have to go in big and tall anymore. So
awesome.
Yeah. Same thing with my chair. I can buy a regular office chair to replace this big old, well, it's the one I got when I was in the apartment and I broke the chair I did have. But I tried that Mountain House. I took a picture of my dinner from Friday night, which is a backpacking style meal. All you got to do is boil water. I wanted something easy. And it worked out. It worked good. I used I had a little tea kettle in there, electric one, and that worked good. So, but my three friends that went with me, they all three made it to the end. Very proud of those guys. And probably one that I don't know, Dan, have you ever done any like 5Ks or races or anything?
Yeah, I've done 5Ks.
Okay. I can tell you, we were driving on the way back because it's about an hour and a half back, right? And we were all wanting to be in church Sunday, all right? And I'm on the way back, and I get a text from the younger guy in our group there. He's like, hey, are you near Taco Bell? I'm like, no, I don't think there's not one near me, but I know there's one in Lancaster, and I'm almost there. He's like, you want to meet there and get some food? I'm like, absolutely. And we went in that Taco Bell. That poor Taco Bell crew, there's only three people there, workers, and they were swamped. Okay, we waited a half hour. We got it for our food. We didn't care. We ate it anyway. None of us were that angry about it. And it had to be the best tasting Taco Bell ever. It just hit right. We were all just famished because we hadn't ate nothing but like bananas, peanut butter sandwiches, and they had a bunch of, like, if you go to the hikes, the Mammoth Marsh website, they had things like fava bean snack. I forget what it is. Salt and vinegar version of it, and it was actually pretty good. I had
that
some
sounds good.
End.
I like fava beans.
And the official snack of the or the official sponsors, the official energy drink was Rainstorm.
Never heard of it.
So yeah, I've heard of Rain before, but this is a one version of their drinks.
R-E-I-G-N.
Yeah.
Rain.
Yeah, and I had the strawberry. I just took whichever one they handed me, which was a strawberry one. I wish it would have had the grape one, but it was okay. And they had plenty of Element. Element is like a drink stick, and it's got 1,000 – it's basically got a full gram of salt, potassium. It's an electrolytic replacement. I drank 3 of them suckers that day. Probably the most interesting part was they had you go down. I actually walked past when we did that. We camped there before as a family, and I walked right past where our site was. But right at the end of the camping area was like a amphitheater area, and the trail went right by there. Okay. Everybody, and I do mean almost everybody that was on the march, stopped there. We were all thinking that that was the aid station, and now that was another mile down the way. But we were all, even at that point, I mean, that was right after the first set of big, large hills. And, man, we were all beat. But let me tell you, if you get an opportunity to do it, I'd do it. I totally do it. It's a great time. It's the hiking community is so accepting of any kind of community I've been on. I started to stumble and almost fall backwards on the trail, and some guy caught me, and I'm like,
"That's cool."
I'm like, and I did not hit the ground. But yeah, that my plan is, I'm still trying to lose more weight. Ultimately, I want to get to not being obese. I'm no longer, if you by the statistics, morbidly obese anymore. I'm just plain obese.
I am also considered obese because I think I'm at 25.2% body fat.
Right.
But, BMI is a joke. Don't follow that shit.
Oh, I know. So they had, Rainstorm, like air snacks. It's like that puff corn thing. Snacks from Jessica's Natural Foods, which I didn't get any of those. I was trying to, you know, I was trying to get snacks, man, but I didn't want to have any, really sugary ones, you know.
They have caffeinated Clif bars.
That's okay. I'll have to look into that. I just bought the big pack at Sam's. In fact, I still have plenty downstairs. I don't eat them too often because they are pretty calorie dense.
not really, you know, for what they are. Well, they're about what, 260 calories?
220, I think. 220. Yeah.
Yeah. But I tend to have one a day.
I might do that just just to start getting rid of the suckers.
Yeah.
You ever
I'd buy them again.
You ever quit caffeine before?
Have I ever quit caffeine before? Yeah. I mean, when I was first diagnosed with high blood pressure, I did not do caffeine until we had a major software migration. That was over 10 years ago now. It was 2007. And we were doing a Thanksgiving weekend. All right. In 6 months out from that planned weekend, the guy who now works on the SAS team, we worked together at Coloma State, got his wife pregnant. And it was exactly 9 months to the day almost that the migration was scheduled. So I was resigned to the fact that I would have to run it. And I was on-prem. This was before this thing called a VPN, you know. I was on-prem the whole time for 3 days straight. And I had very little sleep. And that's when I fell off the caffeine, fell back to the caffeine wagon. And I don't think I'm ever going to stop.
I've stopped it twice for about 6 months each time. And my family said I was in a better mood. I mean, unsolicited. Every member of my family individually just randomly told me that I seemed like I was in a better mood.
My wife recognizes when I haven't had caffeine, and she's like, drink some, you're going to be in a better mood.
but each time, even after quitting it for 6 months, all it took was one drink of caffeine and I was back on it.
Yeah. I've quit before, not in recent years, but I would hate to try and do that now.
Yeah, it was relatively easy for me to quit, but it was even easier to start back. I mean, it took maybe 48 hours of withdrawal, and then I was fine.
I put the link for Element. That's the I'm going to probably end up ordering a full 30 count box of this stuff. It's great stuff. I drink one a day when I'm not like on like a intense hike like I was. And probably my favorite flavor of that is, I think it's the raspberry. I think the raspberry one's pretty good. The chocolate one's good too, even cold. But a lot of people will drink the chocolate.
That's a lot of salt.
Yeah,
it is. They have some solid reasoning in science behind it. What I did notice too is, I think that especially when I'm on hikes, especially. My hands will start to get, you know, they'll start to swell.
Okay? Edema.
And, yeah.
I get it too.
And this seems to help that. So.
Okay. Well, I have seen some recent studies saying that especially if you work out or, you know, are sweating a lot, the daily recommendation of salt intake is actually pretty low.
Right.
What's it, the FDA recommendation? So, I mean, some studies were showing like 2 or 3 times that amount is needed.
Right. Yeah, and I think, there's some solid science that they put on their page about it. In fact, I believe you can actually go on that site. And it's a somewhat open recipe to make your own version of it, I do believe. But one thing I haven't tried is putting a packet of the chocolate salt in some coffee. That might be good. But
my wife found some Black Rifle, like coffee packets that you
coffee.
Were on clearance at Walmart. So I ended up getting one. I haven't tried it yet. Like, we picked it up today, and I try not to drink caffeine this late in the day.
Me too, but
because I do occasionally need sleep, and I
right.
Yeah. I don't want the caffeine to be the reason I'm not getting sleep.
Yep. This, it's strange when I drink, like, as I'm drinking one of these a day, my energy level seems to be higher when I drink this stuff, in addition to all the regular stuff I drink. There's something to it, you know, so... You know, like I said, that's why I, like, at least what I'm doing, like, my normal day-to-day, I only drink one a day. You know, some people will drink three or four of them. I don't do that. But, and my blood pressure has been really good lately. So, I mean, so it's not really doing it. Well, yeah, that does. Well, it's like I took my blood glucose in the morning this morning. It was 98, which is the best it's ever been.
So, yeah, I should probably start monitoring my blood pressure, because I know that a lot of times when I go in,
I'm borderline
hypertension.
Here's my problem too. Don't matter what it is at home, when I go to the doctor's office, it's always higher.
Oh, me too. Me too.
Yep, every single time.
My wife's a nurse. My oldest daughter's a nurse.
White coat.
They check my blood pressure, and it's 118 over 70. I go to the doctor's office, and it's 150 over 90 or 150 over 100. It's crazy high.
I have that all the time, man. Yeah. I'm like, this is it. This is when they find the bad thing or something's going to go wrong. And I'm like, woo! They're like, dude, your blood pressure's got, like, it happens every time. And then they check it at the end, and it's like normal.
a week from Friday, I'm going to find out my results from the bronchoscopy, find out if I am a good candidate for Inspire Sleep, and
good luck.
No matter what, I'm going to try and figure out a way to pay for this shit, because I am sick and tired of the freaking mask, and I think if I can ditch that, I would get better sleep. One of the things I've been struggling with the most sleep-wise is you say you're supposed to get, 7 to 8? I can't go higher than 6. I could go to bed at 9:30. I'll still wake up at, 4 or 5 in the morning. So,
Then you go work out.
Well, actually, yeah. Usually,
well, yeah. Have you tried split sleeping?
Well, what? Split sleeping? What? What's that?
Essentially, what you're going to do is you're going to allot either 9 or 10 hours to sleep.
Right.
And you're going to sleep for 4 hours and then get up and, like, either work out or get some of your paperwork done for the day or whatever, and then lay down again for another 4 hours.
See, it's not so much that is... part of the things that bug me the most is just going to bed at all.
Yeah.
I get this feeling of dread. I don't want to put the fucking mask on. You know, I hate it. So I'll be up longer than I want to be. You know.
I don't know. I've had the mask now for 14 years, 13 years.
Right.
I don't even notice the fucking thing anymore.
Yeah, well, you're on nasals or full face?
Full face.
Okay. See, I tried, I generally, if everything's like, I think my biggest frustration, and I think all the insurance companies get this wrong for your resupplies, the way mine works is I'll get one full mask a year, like headgear, everything, right? And then on the next supply at the next six months from that one, instead of sending what they should send is a new headgear and cushions, right? But they send cushions and the full frame, you know, and I'm like, it's not what wears out.
For me, it's always the goddamn elbow.
Yeah,
and the elastic, yes.
Yeah, the elastic is the worst. I mean, my elbows are usually fine, you know, but, you know, it's the, and so, like, I got the thing, I'll get to the point. And luckily, the headgear itself isn't that expensive by itself. Amazon has mine for like $20. So
I think mine comes out to about 30.
Yeah. So I mean, I'll order a second one of those just keep it on hand for when the one I'm using gets wore out. But
no,
it's just VA's I don't
treating me good.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll send me a year's worth of supply all at once, and that'll be 12 cushions, and that'll be four like full masks with the headgear and everything, you know, the elastic part and everything.
Nice.
And those come with cushions, so I have four extra cushions plus the 12. I got 16 cushions, and four replacement masks.
And hoses too.
And hoses too.
Yeah.
And four hoses that they will send, and then four of the water tanks, so I can replace them quarterly.
Now, does your VA insurance? Do they give a shit if you actually use it?
Yes.
Okay. See, there's one difference. Yeah, there's one difference. My insurance company, they don't give a shit.
Yeah, they will check once every 2 years. They will have me bring it in, and they will check the SD card and make sure that I'm using it every night.
Oh, my doctor always, actually, mine has 4G in it, so they know.
You know, mine does too, but and I used to be able to like sync up with the app on my phone to see how my sleep score
my
was.
Yeah. Yeah, I use my Air, yeah.
But it no longer connects.
Really?
Yeah, it no longer connects.
How often do they get a new machine to you?
I don't know. I've had this one now for like 5 or 6 years, but I have like
due.
Three others.
Yeah, it's about due. Every 5 years, I think, is what mine is.
But I think they're going to hold off until it stops working. But I got lucky when I got this machine, and we found someone on the marketplace that was selling one for like $100 and something, like dirt cheap, essentially. And so I got a second one because I don't want my machine to break. I don't want to have to spend 3 months without it trying to get the VA to replace it.
Right.
So I have a spare machine, and they're both registered to me through the VA now because the guy that had gotten it issued to him didn't like using it and, you know, ended up dying of a heart attack, which is what happens when you have apnea.
Yep. Yep. I think if for some reason there's some physical reason that I can't get the Inspire, when it comes machine replacement time, I'm going to say, hey, get me the smallest one that will work for me. And
the full face or the name?
No, the machine itself.
Oh, okay.
The machine itself. There is one that's about the size of a can of pop.
Yeah, I've seen some of them.
Yeah, and I don't know if they make a BiPAP version of that, but that's what I'm going to ask for. And the only reason, not so much, you know, I want to be able to go on overnight backpacking trips. So I want they have some that will run off of a battery pack, and you can buy a panel to stick on the top of your pack to charge that as you're hiking, and you can carry a couple of them, or you can just make sure that both of them are charged. Because I want to do backpacking, like backpack campouts in the worst way, just because it's just one of those things that's on my list of things that I've always wanted to do and never been able to do. So, but I'm hoping that I qualified for that surgery. I know Aetna, my insurance company, will cover 80% of the cost.
You know,
so
I spent about 4 months one time sleeping in a tent, and it kind of put me off from the whole camping thing after that.
Yeah, well, I get that, but
I guess occasionally getting shot at while camping will be nice to you.
Yeah, a little bit different situation.
I got something when you finish there.
Okay, so things I'd like to do is like eventually, it would be nice to I wanna through hike the Appalachian Trail when I retire, maybe. And at a minimum, if I don't do that, there's one called the Allegheny Trail, which is, that's a lot shorter. That's like 300 miles. I want to do like 300, 400 mile hikes and through hikes and stuff like that. So that's really what some of my goals would be. And it,
Joel
to
wants
start
to be
off
a sleigh dog.
That. No, nothing like that.
He wants
like
to
that.
Do the Iditarod.
You know, actually, I'd like to visit that, to be honest. But
you should check out Ragbri, seriously.
Right.
Have you looked it up?
What, Iditarod?
No, Ragbri.
No.
It's a bike trail. It's a biking event across Iowa.
Oh, wow.
So you should check that out. It actually is really cool, and I would love to be able to do that one day.
If I ever get to doing road biking, there is one called the Tosser or Tour of the Ohio Scioto River Valley. And it's basically a ride from Columbus to Gallipolis, Ohio, and back, I think.
Yeah.
So you ride down there and go back.
Very few people have died on Ragbri. Oh.
But I don't mean to bring up the Olympics too much, but have y'all seen that Australian breaking dancer?
Yeah.
Yes. No.
Oh, my God.
It cracks me up, dude, how bad she was.
I just wanted to be original.
And she did a thesis on breakdancing for her PhD in cultural studies.
And she did a kangaroo hop.
She did some crazy-ass shit.
I'm just like, really, dude?
I mean, zero athleticism, but a whole lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah.
That's true. She did have enthusiasm. Well, like us, me and some friends from high school were talking about that on Facebook, and I said, she did better than I could, so.
Yeah. She did more up there than I would have been willing to do.
So, two things. One before I change the subject from the previous subject. Joel, be thankful you have what you have, because Dave was trying to patent a CPAP suppository, and the only thing that did was cause a distended stomach and a lot of burping. So, anyway, when this past week we went to Brigantine, New Jersey, which is, if you're not familiar with the area, I'm sure most people know where Atlantic City, New Jersey is. Brigantine is the island immediately north of Atlantic City. If there wasn't an inlet between Atlantic City and Brigantine, the beach would just keep going up. So we left on Saturday morning, got there about 6 o'clock Saturday. Same ritual we do every time we go in there, which is stop, six-pack shop, get some beer, and then roll on down to the beach just to check it out after we stop at the house and unload our stuff. We got down to the beach. It was just Lily and I, and stepped into the water. Now, the water is generally colder than it is down here, roughly 72 degrees usually this time of year, and it was freaking cold. Like, it hurt when you stepped in the water. And I was like, wow, I'm surprised. It's been like almost 2 years since I've been to the beach. I just didn't remember being this cold. So the next day, Sunday, we went down to the beach, and we only stayed for an hour. Like, really, for that time of year on a Saturday, nobody was in the water. We went in the water, and it was really freaking cold. So I went back to the house, and I looked at the water temperature at a couple of different sites, and it was like, between 68 and 70 degrees.
Oh, that sounds so nice.
And, okay, now hold on. Up here, the water is generally like, if I'm in the pool where I do laps, like around 78 degrees. If I'm in the bay, like the ocean, the bay, it's probably like 75, 74. ocean maybe a couple degrees cooler. So I'm like, I'm used to that. And a couple of degrees isn't really, shouldn't be this big a difference, but it was almost unbearable. So the next day I looked up the water temperature before I went down there, and they're like, okay, now it's like 75, 76. And I'm like, okay, so it's up to what I'm used to. No, wait, I think it said 72 to 73. So it was a couple of degrees warmer. So I went down there, I'm like, this is what I'm used to. And I'm like, okay, I don't know. Maybe it feels a little better. It still hurts when you go in. It hurts your joints.
Yeah.
And so my Avery was in there, and she's like, yeah, it's cold, but I know if I get out, I'm not getting back in. So she was in for a long time. Lily was kind of in and out. I was in and out. Finally, after about half an hour, I was in there riding some waves. And I'm like, okay, I'm dealing with it. It's okay. And then so again – like, there's nobody in the water for this time of year, except for, like, a handful of kids that would run down there, and nobody was in there, like, kind of like we were. But there were a handful of people that were about almost a half an American football field out, maybe 40 to 50 yards out. There was a sandbar, and there was a lot of people, like, a handful of people out there. So Avery went out there, was kind of low tide, to ride some waves. And I said to Lily, let's go. And she's like, oh, it's kind of too cold. So then I finally convinced her, and we're walking out there. And she gets out there, and I get out there, and I'm like, I don't feel good, man. I felt, like, terrible. So I'm like, I could push through it, or I could listen to my body, and my body says, get the fuck out of the water. So I walked back, like, and I'm like, I feel like I get out of the water, my arms are freezing, my legs are freezing. I'm not blue or anything. I'm just, like, really cold. So I spent, like, a half an hour on the beach, maybe 20 minutes, like, warming up, like, just laying in the sun, warming up. And I felt like, I'm like, okay, I feel better now. I'm like, okay, it's 73 degrees. This is water I swam in my whole life. I'm going out there to the sandbar. I step in the water, I start walking out, and my body is just like, I don't care what your mind says, this fucking hurts. And, like, it was like, I never experienced this. It wasn't like stabbing pain. It was just an all over body pain that it said, no, do not do this. So I got out of the water, and I'm like, I can't do it. It's just, I can't physically do it. And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. So when I got back to the house, I started looking up the sites again, and they're all like, it's 73 degrees, it's 74 degrees. And like, this doesn't make any sense. So I found an Atlantic City buoy that's recording water temperature. It's 56 degrees.
Gracious.
Yep, it that's a nope.
56 degrees.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy crap, that explains it.
That's so good for a polar plunge, but holy crap.
It was. Now, what was weird is that night we went out on a boat in the bay. So the back bay is like the other side of Brigantine Island. If you go across the bay to Absecon is where they had the boat docked. We went out there, went up to close to the inlet. The inlet over there between Atlantic City and Brigantine. So we were probably about 3/4 of a mile away from the inlet, and they stopped the boat and they're like, hey, you know, if you want to jump in the water, go ahead. And the boat was reporting the sea temperature, the temperature of the water there was 71 degrees. So, you know, I jumped in, and it was water that I'm used to, right? That temperature. It was 4 feet deep where we were. But again, this is like another thing that I have never experienced before. Like, I'm used to tides, and I'm used to being on the ocean. I've been in the bay and the ocean. I'm used to swimming there. The incoming tide was so strong. Like, it was just like a wall of water that was pushing against you, that if you let go of the boat in like 2 seconds, you were like 15 feet pushed away from the boat. It was easier to swim back, but it was a lot of effort to swim back. If you tried to walk back, even though it was 4 feet, it was like walking into just this wall of water that was pushing you backwards. It was harder to walk than it was to swim. It was amazing. And in the time that we were there, so that's when the tide like really started coming in. In the time that, in half an hour that like 20 minutes to a half an hour after we had gotten out of the water, the temperature dropped to like 59 degrees due to the incoming tide. So it went from like 71 to 59 degrees.
That's crazy.
Isn't that unusual for August?
Yes. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem. They're experiencing an upwelling. And what is happening, or what had happened? Now,
That's hurricane weather.
The buoys are reporting now that the temperature is back to normal. It's like 73 degrees. But the week that we were down there, and like the week prior to that, what is happening was, due to the excessive heat waves and a wind coming from the southwest, coming out of the southwest, it was blowing the warm top water back out into the ocean and causing the cold undercurrent to come up. And that cold water was just coming up to the top, and the warm water was being blown out. And that's what was happening, an upwelling. It was dropping the temperature like 20 degrees from what it usually is. And 20 degrees is like...
That's a lot.
Really, it was frigid.
I think the minimum threshold for hypothermia is a 20 degrees difference in body temperature and environment temperature.
It was not safe. Like 60 to 70, they're like, you can swim here. You'll probably be better and more comfortable in like a wetsuit. But, you know, just be careful. Like 58 degrees was not – that was kind of like, had I known. But like I said, I checked the water temperature at a bunch of sites, and the way that they were reporting, it was like, today's water temperature at Brigantine is 74 degrees. Based on annual, you know, historic data, that's roughly average the temperature of what it usually is. But even they're not taking actual measurements. They're doing averages of what they expect it to be, and it wasn't being reported that way, which kind of really pissed me off, because there's a big difference between it being like 71 degrees and 56 degrees. You know what I mean? That's a huge difference.
Yeah.
But other than that, the trip was wonderful. Good time. But the ocean water was frigid. Oh.
Now, one thing I do want to touch on, one more thing about the hike. My watch is the Phoenix Garmin Phoenix 7X, and it did a fantastic job on the trail. I was able to always see the trail on my wrist, and it tracked, like I said, tracked the whole hike, except 12.68 miles that I completed of it, and I made the right choice. I'm sitting here, I forget when I charged it last, but I'm at 40 some percent, and on the face of the watch, the watch face I got on there, it says I have, according to what it says, I have 11 more days before it's all the way depleted. So I mean, you know, as much as I like Wear OS, it's a great thing, but there's not a single Wear OS watch that can touch the battery life of this thing. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Skip Apple, skip Android, go with this, and I don't think you'll be displeased at all.
Huh. All right.
Yeah.
Nice, nice, nice. All right, so I guess we better close out this show. It's after 10 o'clock.
Already?
Yeah. How about that?
It is. I got to go sleep now. I got boot camp tomorrow, but I'm going to go ahead and do a 3.9 hike tomorrow.
Good for
too,
you.
I think. Yeah.
All right. Yep.
Get my exercise. I think this week, other than the week I did the hike, I think this week I'll probably have a record, maybe. I don't know. It depends on if I go hiking on Saturday. I may not, because it's a pain in the butt to do that when I'm on call. Hate to get 5 miles into a hike and then have a page, and I'm a good hour back, you know. So, anywho, have a great week, all.
I think I'm falling asleep here on my weight bench.
Yeah. All right. So here we go. Here's your promo. Here's your promo for HPR. There you go.
I am short.
Oh my God.
It's Hacker Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
All right.
Time to make those suppositories.
Jelly-filled, right?
Yeah. I want to come do some hiking in Pennsylvania, too.
The Appalachian Trail?
Well, eventually. Actually, I've been seeing all sorts of like state parks and stuff in my Facebook feed, and one of the ones that's been really impressing me lately is West Virginia.
Yeah, I got some nice places there.
Yep. Yeah, I can stop and get me a pepperoni roll. I guess that's a West Virginia food, kind of like barbecue is Carolina one. And I ate all of my free Lebanon bologna.
Go. Oh, nobody's here. Dave, I got a sad story for you, man.
Oh, no.
You're going to feel my pain. You're going to feel my pain. I'm going to tell you because nobody else is going to feel my pain. So while we're waiting for people to show up. So... the last night we were on vacation, about three quarters of a mile down from where we're staying is this ice cream shop. It used to be called Aunt B's, but now it's called the Jersey Cow, which is attached next to Ernest & Sons Deli and Butcher. And oh my goodness, the subs that come out of there are to die for. So we were there, and this was after 9 o'clock, and I'm not, you know, last night there splitting an ice cream cone with the wife, kids are eating like pigs. Well, it was just Lily. We were bringing something back for Avery. So we're finished, we get in the car and we start to go out, and in the road in front of me as I'm pulling out from where we were parked is a possum. And so I'm like looking at it and it's not moving, but it's alive, but it's not moving. And I'm like, it can't stay in the road because somebody's going to kill it.
Now, is it playing dead, or am I?
That's what I thought. Like, I was worried that it was playing dead. So I pull up, put on the four ways, and I get out, and I'm like, ooh, hey, what's up, man? And I'm like, kind of like tapping it with my foot to try and get it out of the road, maybe like encourage it, but it's not moving. Like, it's still, it's like, it's kind of moving, but it's like playing. I didn't know if it was playing dead or not, right? So I'm like, all right, I'm not gonna touch this thing, you know. So I went, and we had bought a beach umbrella, so I pulled the pole out from the beach umbrella, and I was kind of like trying to poke with the beach umbrella to get it to go, and like it would still not move. So I'm like, I can't get this thing to get off the road. No, I didn't hit it. It was there in the middle of the road, and I'm like, it didn't look like it was bleeding or anything, right? So finally, at some point, and so it's like I said, it's like 9:30 at night. There's hardly any cars on the road, but it's still, I can't be sitting out here in the middle of the road with my four ways on trying to get this possum. So finally, I got up the nerve. I picked it up by the tail, and I carried it over into the grass and put it over by the sign. And then the next day, I went out there. You know, as we were leaving, we drove past it. It was dead. Somebody did hit it. But it made me sad. It made me sad, Dave.
Saving the possum.
You know my history with possums, right?
Yeah, I know your history with possums.
Yeah, you eat them.
No, I don't eat them.
You have sex with them.
Then you eat them.
No. Suppository.
So that was how we left our, that was our last night. Tried to rescue a possum, but it didn't work out. Now, you, on the other hand, would have just thrown it in somebody's driveway. I understand that. I'm like, I see that all the time here. People hit, like, run possums over, like, really? They don't move too fast? You can't stop? The speed limit's like 25, 30 miles an hour. You can't stop. You have to run this thing over. Like, what is wrong with you?
Give him this squishy squish.
You sound like you're happy about that, Joel.
Nah.
Sadistic bastard.
Nope. My feet are, well, my blister that was on my foot because of the hike.
Well, we'll get to that.
He's gone.
Don't spoil anything.
Not but dead skin now.
Nothing but Dave's skin, right?
Ugh.
Well, I guess we should probably start the show.
Kick my ass, man.
Sounded like it. Let's see here.
It's brutal, man.
We get this geared up here. Where's Joe?
I don't know. Eat Taco Bell. I had the new chalupa thing they got now. The street chalupas. Those are good.
What ones. Makes it a street chalupa? Do they throw it out there on the driveway
they're
and
small.
Have people run it over?
No, they're small.
They're small. Like,
yeah, they're small like street taco. You know, like when you get a taco at a taco truck. So, other than that, it's steak, cheese, and spices. And what's not to like about that? That's what we did from dinner last night after I had on call. God, I hate on call. On call, you and your dishwasher be my fucking washing machine for my clothes. I learned an important lesson today. If you have a front loader washing machine, don't use liquid softener in it, ever. Because that's what clogs it up. What happened is you put a load in and it would water would come leaking out of the soap dispenser.
I don't know anybody that's got a front loaded washing machine that doesn't have problems with it.
Generally, we don't. You know, this is just, you know, this is the first one we ever had, and I love it. I mean, it does a great job on clothes, but it's just like learning the differences. How is Joe?
I got an email from a listener.
About a front-loading washing machine?
No. He has an e-reader, a Lifebook Mars e-reader with a micro USB port and worn out. Yeah, I wanted it so I could work on it and want to talk about it on this show specifically.
Sweet.
Oh, okay.
So, I said, hell yeah, send it to me.
Joe B. Hacking.
I'll be fixing it. He just needs me to wipe it. I do have my concerns about wiping it because I know Google has some extra security, so sometimes it requires a password in order to wipe it. But I will look up other methods. And if I can't wipe it, I'll send it back.
All right. Well, let's get the show started, and we got a lot to cover then, I guess.
Yes, sir.
Because I got a bunch of things, too. So, what episode is this, Davey?
1063.
You got it. You were preparing, like, the past 2 weeks, weren't you? You were probably ready to go that Friday.
I remember this time we skipped a week. So
there we go.
That threw me the last time I was wrong.
All right. So, let's do it. 1063.